The second message is on Thanksgiving, and part two, Lessons from Heaven, and this is the last use of the word Thanksgiving in the Bible, and it does come from Revelation 7, 9 to 12. John is in spirit and has been taken up to heaven, and he says, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Later, an angel is to prompt John and say, who are these people clothed in white robes? He says, beats me, but you know. And he says, these are the ones who have given their lives, Christians who have given their lives and have come out of great tribulation. So he's here during the tribulation and all of that while they're doing that. And he says, they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, this is Jesus Christ sitting upon the throne, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. I have palms in my hand. No, but these are the palms that they were using to celebrate the king. And cried with a loud voice, saying, so the redeemed are gathered around the throne, and they cry out, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Now, a second group, and all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders, and the four beasts. The word beast here is literally the living creatures. A beast sounds like animals, but these, John couldn't tell what they were. The only thing he could tell was they were alive, so he called them living things. And they fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. So now we have the redeemed crying out, salvation is from our God. And now the angels who never have been saved, they cry out, worshiping God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. So I find it interesting that the saints cry out praise for salvation. That to them meant everything. They wouldn't have been there in heaven without salvation. And they wouldn't have been saved without God. And there's salvation on him that sits on the throne. So salvation from the sovereign God and his Son. But the various angelic spirits, the various spirit beings, they cry out praise for God's character. Now, I thought this was interesting for a number of reasons. Spurgeon points this out. You see that all the glory is given to God. Let me just stop there to say that Thanksgiving can mean many things to many people, getting together with family, all these things. That's wonderful. But the concept of giving thanks is all about God. Let's keep that. Let's hold on to that, you see. You see that all the glory is given to God, Spurgeon says. Man is lost sight of. And in his day, they thought man was the greatest thing. You know, humanitarianism has no place of honor in heaven, though many nowadays make so much of it here on earth, Spurgeon said 100, 150 years ago. It is unto Father, Son, and Spirit, unto the one only Creator, Savior, Inspirer, that the angels ascribe blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving and honor and power and might forever and ever. Let me just say concerning the verse, in the original, there's the definite article the in front of each one of those words. It's not just in general blessing, but the blessing, the glory, the wisdom, the thanksgiving, and so on. And sevenfold praise of God. I've noticed that there is this attitude. The psalmist mixes the ritual of the Thanksgiving offering that we were talking about upstairs with verbal praises to God, even as we're doing today. Psalm 107:22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. That's what we were talking about. And declare his works with rejoicing. Oh, by the way, I took off my coat because I thought this tie would help you stay awake. Just you wouldn't be able to doze off. This thing will scare you. So he says, I want to declare the works of God. Think of the works of God. I mean, creation and salvation, the two great, mighty works of God. And declare those works to men. What have they forgotten today? Creation and salvation, you see. Now they put it down to chance. I'm hearing this phrase on the TV shows. When the universe wants to do something, it'll make a way. They don't have a God anymore. See? So they think somehow dust and trees and stars are going to do it all. See? Then Psalm 116:17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, there it is again, and will call upon the name of the Lord. This is a beautiful combination because the thanksgiving offering is given and praise for salvation, which is bestowed upon by the calling on of his name. You see, this is Old Testament, isn't it? Psalm. And what did the faithful psalmist understand? It was calling on the name of the Lord that you get salvation, not the rituals. The author to the Hebrews urges them, the Hebrews there living in Rome, not to overemphasize ritual offerings. He explains that we as Christians have an altar and we have a sacrifice that the ritual-keeping Jews did not have and do not have. Listen to this passage. Hebrews 13, 9-15. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, diverse from Christian doctrine. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats. You know, sacrifices, meats and stuff, which have not profited them, which have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. He says, but that was just an example. Wherefore Jesus also, in our understanding, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood rather than the blood of animals, suffered where? Outside the gate. You see? He says, that because the animal carcasses had to be burned outside. So he says this, let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp. You know, this whole thing we were talking about earlier about the church is following the culture. This is going along with the crowd. You know what he says here? Leave the crowd behind. Stand alone. Be your own person. You go outside the camp to Jesus. He's already out there, by the way. Let's go to him. Bearing his reproach. For here, we have no continuing city. This isn't about the here and now, is it? This isn't about making our environment better. But he says, we seek one to come. It's quite a city, by the way. Almost 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles high. You know what that means? If you stand at one corner, you can't see the top and you can't see the ends. If you went into the middle of the wall, you couldn't see the end that way, or this way. This would be like the end of the earth, just a wall right there. Gates made of a single pearl. I don't know what. You have a giant pearl and slice it down the middle, maybe use it as a door. Wow. I want to see that oyster. We seek a city to come. By him, therefore, and notice this. Here's what we're doing today. Let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. You say, oh, well, how do we do that? That is the fruit of our lips, giving or confessing thanks to his name. In the Old Testament, the word for the praise or the thanksgiving offering was the word for to confess. This is confessing the praise out loud to God, but before the people. Now, we see then in this verse that uses the word thanksgiving, as we saw earlier in the law, this was a sacrifice meal to God. And in this, we find thanksgiving again. There are many verses in the Bible that urge us to be thankful, to give thanks. These two verses, the first and the last, that use the word thanksgiving, are emphasizing to whom the thanks should be given. I find that significant because we can lose track. We can just be thankful to parents and thankful to our children and thankful for stuff and forget we should be thankful to God. Seven qualities, and I found this interesting because back in Revelation 5:12, we find, and I have a picture for you here, in 5:12, on the left going down, are in order the words that were given to Christ. Christ is now on the throne, and it says he is worthy to receive these seven things because he died for us and brought about, initiated the new covenant and brought about our salvation. In chapter 7, verse 12, again verse 12, which we've just read, the angels are speaking unto God, especially God the Father, and it says, let these qualities be unto him. You allow it. You cooperate with it. You agree with it, that these qualities belong to him. And what was interesting is that they match. My little arrows there, power and power, they're in different order, you see. Blessing and blessing. Wisdom, strength, honor, glory, all the same except for the word thanksgiving, which was our study. It matches riches as given to Christ. Now that's interesting because on the receiving end, it's riches. On the giving end, it's thanksgiving. When you stop to think what we have, I mean, I don't know. To me, I hear about the child that's living in a cardboard box in an alley in India. And I cannot help but feel rich. I mean, if I read about Bill Gates, I don't feel rich, you understand. But when I find out what I have been given, not due to anything of me, just by virtue of being in this land and in this time, I recognize riches have been poured upon me. And all the more should we then give thanks to God. Remember, Paul to the Romans said, do you not understand that the goodness of God should be leading you to repentance? You know what happens when things go good with us? We forget God. What a goofy thing. We should be saying, I don't deserve any of this. And so if I have anything good, it's because of him. Well, with that lengthy introduction, let me just go through the seven things, paying particular attention to thanksgiving. But all of these, praise to God. This is what all of this is, praise to God. Number one, blessing. This is literally good speech. Good speech. It is used of praise. When I praise you, I am using good speech of you. So, what does it mean? It means this. If we're going to give blessing to God, let us apply all good speech and all praise to our God. and that forever and ever. Forever and ever. The second word is glory. We were talking about this a little while ago. The word glory is literally opinion and is used of the good opinion we might have to one another, but particularly of the good opinion we have of God. Somehow, unknown to me, it also refers to God's splendor, to God's brightness. So recognize that all glory is due to Him. You see, here's the thing. If you see any good in me, it's because of Him. All the glory then goes to Him. If I see any good in you, I can thank God for you. He's the one due all glory. Third is wisdom. The word wisdom, the Greek word wisdom here, comes from the root word meaning skilled. I was impressed by that because we had done a Bible study earlier on Christ, the wisdom of God, and we discovered that the Bible meaning of wisdom is not some esoteric philosophical thought, but the practical ability to work out how to accomplish a task that's been given. When you're wise, you can figure out how to do what you're supposed to do. Christ is called the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And the gospel itself is called the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak, Paul says, we missionaries, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What was he preaching? He was preaching the gospel. He calls it here the wisdom of God in a mystery. And then, because the Greeks were looking for wisdom, but it was in the mystery of Christ. Then Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, and that would be angels, might be known by the church, because the angels are paying attention to us. They're learning from us. They haven't been saved. They don't need to be saved, the holy angels. The fallen angels can't be saved. But the holy angels never needed to be saved. They were never sinners needing salvation. So what they learn from us is what it's like to see that there's a race of people here who did sin, but aren't banished like the demons and the devil. But he gives us a chance of salvation. So they're learning these things. And he says, to the intent now that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. What they see in us turns back to looking at the wisdom of God, the ability to work out that big problem. I want man to be with me, but man has sinned. We come, number four, to thanksgiving. This comes from a root word meaning good graciousness. It sounds like Charlie Brown. Good grief. But here, good graciousness. And I say good graciousness, it has the EU beginning. It's the word good to begin with. And it's the grace of God, the good grace of God. It means, then, thanksgiving is the grateful acknowledgement of God's mercies, God's grace. So let us list, I didn't say that right, let the list of His goodness fill our hearts and minds. That's what I meant to say. Okay. I don't mean you have to actually make a list. It wouldn't be a bad thing. Wouldn't it be something to, as soon as you feel a little down, pull out that list, look at everything God's been doing for you. Wow. How can you be down? The fifth one is honor. Let it be to Him. Honor. This means literally the value of a thing that will establish its price. You know, the person looking at it, I don't know what this is worth. Now I come and look at the, now I determine the price. So how much is God worth to you? That's the honor. How much do you value salvation, his relationship to you in love. Evaluate it. Estimate its cost. Number six is power. This is the word for power that speaks of ability. There's another one that's used that speaks of authority. This is the one that speaks of actual power, of actual ability. This is that type of power that is the inherent power of God to do all his holy will. Nothing can stand in his way. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Whatever he chooses to do, he has the ability to do. So we want to talk about power, we have to talk about God. And the final one is might, power and might. The word also means ability, but it adds a concept of force and strength. The previous word, power, implies inherent power, the inherent ability to do something, while this word, might, implies strength, and especially physical strength, as an achievement. I believe that it's talking about, again, his mighty works, what he achieved based on his power. You see, power pictures the omnipotence of God. Might pictures what God has accomplished by reason of his strength. Here's an interesting verse to show that. Two verses, actually. Ephesians 1:18 and 19. He's saying, this is my prayer for you. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Aha, the light came on. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. The hope is what you're expecting out of it. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is, notice this, the exceeding greatness of his power. And what kind of power? Power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So this is his inherent ability that has been shown in his works. The emphasis of this last part of the verse, our faith in our coming inheritance is traced back and based on the working of God's mighty power. So all of these seven things, meditating, all of this, let this be to God, and it says at the end, forever. These qualities are to be recognized as belonging to the one true God forever. The phrase forever and ever translates the Greek into the ages of the ages. It was their way of saying forever. They didn't have a word for forever. You know, we have a phrase when we want to talk about something that's a long, long time, we'd say a month of Sundays. Okay, I don't say that, but I've heard it anyway. A month of Sundays. Now you have a month of 31 days, 28 to 31 days, and if all of those were Sundays, that would be that many weeks, you know. So 30 weeks is most of a year. So that's a long time, month of Sundays. Their idea was to have an entire age, not made up of days, but made up of ages. Okay, that's a long, long time. Into the ages of the ages. What that means is these seven wonderful characteristics of God, let them be recognized as his forever. There will never be a time when these praises to God will run out. Never be a time when he doesn't deserve them. Never be a time when there will not be people, his creation, praising him with these words. Well, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can recognize that a time of thanksgiving needs to be focused upon you, and that there is much in every way to thank you for. To thank you for what you have done to us. That's a wonderful thing. What you have given to us, provided for us. That's a wonderful thing. But Father, when we come, as the angels did, to praise you for who you are and what you show us of your character, then it is infinite. Not only infinite in number, but to be given for an infinity of time. Guide and direct us in this Thanksgiving season to remember to turn our attention to you, to notice what we have, yes, but to remember that it was you who gave it to us and provided for us and developed it all by your creation. And so we humbly bow before you and thank you for all you've done. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.